Now, it's been quite a number of years since this show first featured the amazing work of the Mercy Ships. It's a kind of international floating hospital, really, that travels primarily the West African coastline at the moment, anyway, providing free healthcare and other community support. Now, since it was established in 1978, the ship has delivered services to over 2.7 million people in some of the world's very poorest countries, places where access to surgeries, to the luxury of something like anesthetic, is often not a given, sometimes completely absent. And the Africa Mercy is currently anchored at Dakar in Senegal. And the exciting news is that plans are afoot to introduce a sister ship to the fleet, which would effectively allow the program to double its reach and impact. The program relies heavily on volunteer contributions. So when I heard recently that a Cape Town teacher was on board as a volunteer, I thought, well, we've got to get her on the yellow couch the minute she's found her land legs to tell us more about the experience. And that is exactly what is happening. Hayley Friend disembarked in late October after serving 6 months on board. Lovely to have you back on dry land. And thanks for coming into studio today, Hayley. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
How strange is it to be back on land after and staying in one place after 6 months away?
I think I'm still waiting for culture shock to hit a little bit. But yes, I'm not great actually on ships, but the beauty about the Mercy ship is that it's stationary and doesn't sail actually a lot.
So okay, yes. So you don't have to contend with seasickness at
not
the same
too much.
Time. Okay, that's good news. Tell us a little bit about yourself before we talk about your time on the ship. I know you're a qualified teacher. Are you from Cape Town originally?
Yes, I'm from Cape Town and I've always had a heart for the community, and I've worked in underprivileged areas here in Cape Town, and I've worked in Swaziland for 2 years as well, pretty much in education. And I've always wanted to give back, so, and I love international travel as well. Mm-hmm. But born and bred in Cape Town, yes.
Okay, so a passion for education mixed with a passion for travel. Mercy Ship seems to be the perfect solution as well for somebody who likes change too. But how did you first hear about the Mercy Ships? How were you exposed to the concept?
I think I've known about it for many years. I actually applied about 10 years ago to the Mercy Ship as a trained teacher on board. But at that stage, the application process was quite long, and I ended up then going to Swaziland after being accepted on the Mercy Ship. That was about 10 years ago, and I've always had it in my mind to actually go.
That was a dream you wanted to fulfill at a later stage. Okay. So tell us about what you did. I know you were nominally deployed this time for a 6 month period as a receptionist, but I think it was a lot more than answering phone calls and welcoming people on board. Tell us what you did.
Yes, no, definitely. I think once I got there, I realized this has got really nothing to do with reception. More to do, I would say, with safety officer. Mm-hmm. And because I could only give 6 months, I couldn't teach on board. They require longer commitment. So I opted for reception, which I think in looking back, it was probably one of the best decisions because I got to meet a lot of people. And you are obviously the front of house when it comes to the ship. Mm-hmm. You meet people as they come up the gangway. You meet the new arrivals, be it in the patients or new crew members. And it's got a lot to do with crisis and crowd management and fire panel, and it needs to be manned 24/7. So I did a lot of night shifts, which I also wasn't used to. So a lot of new things, okay. But exciting things, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the ship in general and what is there on board. I used the terms a giant floating hospital, moored in one place, and it does tend to do that, stay in a particular position for months on end. That really enables it to do more than just help individual patients, but to sort of spill off onto the land, really, doesn't it?
Yes, that's right. So it's it stays in one country for 10 months. That is the field service. And but many people don't realize that there's an advanced team that goes ahead of the ship for a couple of months and actually does the screening for the patients and the day crew. As many as 250 day crew are hired in that country as translators. So you can imagine surgery is taking place, but they need a translator in the operation theater. So all those things, and they have a country rep in those countries that actually because in Africa it's a lot to do with relational, it's not about just arriving at a country. It takes 2 to 3 years of planning before even going into that country. And then before and post, they do a lot of capacity building and helping assisting in the healthcare systems in that country. So even when the ship leaves, they will have people there who will then do follow-up.
So they've left behind more than just the individual lives they've touched. It's effectively building capacity that work can continue even after the ship has left.
Yes, I think more and more in the last 10 years, they've focused more on the capacity building side, because in each country, you could probably do about 2,500 surgeries. Already in Senegal, apparently there's 4,000 on the waiting list for surgeries. So yes, to reach more people, you're looking at capacity and actually bringing those surgeons on board, and they can assist in the surgeries and then actually go and teach further on in their countries.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about the kind of medical interventions. I know you weren't on the medical staff and you're not a doctor, just to emphasize that, but you can give us a sense of the kinds of operations that are done on the ship, the kinds of patients who come on board.
Yeah, I mean, I think what they try and do is they have elective surgery. So they will focus on about 10 areas, one being cleft palate. Another one would be burn contractions, very large tumors. And if you had to go onto their website, you'd also see a lot of the success stories.
Yeah.
And a lot of these operations are directly related to poverty, in that if they had access to safe, affordable, timely surgery, they probably wouldn't be this far along, you know. So what they do is, I found out a very interesting fact when I was on the ship, that 5 billion people in the world do not have access to safe, affordable, timely surgery. Mm. And so what they do is they do focus on electives, and then what they do is they will block off, say, 2 or 3 months of the field service for a particular type of operation, and then those surgeons are booked a year in advance. Surgeons will come from different countries as volunteers for 2 weeks at a time.
That's really clever and efficient, because it means everything is set up for these 2 weeks for cataract removals or for fixing obstetric fistulas or for dental procedures, rather than having dentists come and go. We need the dentists for these 2 weeks. You're all here. The operating theatres are geared up for your particular kind of surgery, and you process as many as you can. I mean, that's really an effective and efficient way of doing it. Yeah. It's not just surgeons. You need nurses on board. You need all kinds of people as volunteers. I think the number I saw when researching with this was that on average, the African Mercy sees about 1,000 volunteer crew a year from 40 different countries. Tell us a little bit about life on board, Hayley. I mean, who were you interacting with?
Yeah, I think for at any given time, there's about 450 volunteers, and a lot are yes, there is a lot in the medical side of things, but also you have the deck department and people in the dining room and people who are in Starbucks who are serving the coffee, because people desperately need coffee on the ship, you know. And a lot of people have come to volunteer outside of their maybe speciality or anything like that. They just feel that they really want to serve and actually go on the Mercy ship. So yes, I think at present there's about 6 or 7 South Africans, not a lot of South Africans. I would say almost half of the crew would be American, and we've got a lot of West African guys on board as well, mm-hmm. who were day crew that have now become part of the full-time crew.
Okay.
So that's great. But yes, I mean, it's always interesting living with different cultures and understanding different ways of speaking, and yes, but it's great because you'll meet a lot of people that you'll know for the rest of your life from different parts of the world.
Incredible experience.
Yeah.
The volunteer aspect really needs to be emphasized here. It's not just about saying, I'm giving up 6 months of my life, as you did, to go and work as a volunteer. You actually have to pay your way onto the ship to get there in the first place. Just explain to us how it works, Hayley.
Yes, I think people don't understand that, because they kept on asking me. So not only are you volunteering, you're actually paying to go on. They find that very foreign. And even the surgeons, as far as I know, also pay to go on. I think behind it is that all the money raised by the Mercy ship is going directly to the surgeries and actually the running of the ship. So what's great about South Africa, I suppose, is that we're in a different category of countries. So countries don't pay all the same. So if you from Africa, which I would then fall under, I would pay a less per month in dollars than, say, someone from America or Europe, which is great. But yes, it does require a lot of planning, because not only are you not earning, things are ticking back at home as well as you're paying every month. So I think a lot of people who go long term would actually get sponsors, people who've committed to saying, well, I would love to go on, but I can't, but I would love to support you and be part of the journey with you, even though I'm not on the ship.
Okay. So I just want to recap a couple of details, because if anybody's listening going, this sounds meaningful and impactful and is something I would be interested in doing. As Hayley's mentioned, the need is not only for medical staff, but for engineers and plumbers and deckhands and cooks and writers and photographers and teachers, and so many different kinds of work requirements on board the ship. There is a long list available on the Mercy Ship website, which is mercyships.co.za. There's also facilities for couples to go together or for families to go together. Hayley, were there any families on board at the time you were there?
Yes, there are a number of families, no South African ones. So the country rep here in Cape Town, I asked her for Christmas for our wish list. As South Africans, we wanted a family, because they get a family cabin and then they do a lot of like little get-togethers in their cabins. But yes, at the moment I think there are about 9 or 10 families. Many of the families have lived on board for many years, and some of the kids have only known the life of the ship, which is great. I think it's quite a community, and so they have family, single, couples, you name it, different people.
Okay.
Yeah.
And for those asking about the nature of the ship itself, the Africa Mercy, I think, is the fourth ship that has been in service. This, as I mentioned, started back in 1978. And speaking of the families, Don Stevens, who founded the Mercy Ships, lived on board with his family for 10 years, I think, with his wife and 4 kids, if I'm not mistaken. So it can be done long term. But the ships were and are retired ocean liners or ferries that have been recommissioned and refitted as hospital ships. So there is an entire deck kitted out as a hospital. Is that correct, Hayley?
Yes, almost. It's a deck 3. So it has 5 operating rooms and then I think enough space for 80 patients. And then in any given country, there's a Hope Center, which in Senegal at the moment would be able to house 250 patients that would be in Dakar, because obviously they would need to be around for rehab and come back to the ship for all the physio that they need to do in that. So, yes, that also takes a lot of planning. And because in Senegal, we are looking particularly at the interior of the country, those patients would be coming from the interior and they certainly can't be going home between visits.
Sure.
So, yes, there's an entire – it's quite amazing. I mean, it's a first world – operating theatres down in Deck 3 that you obviously only get to see if you go on a tour of the hospital. But yes, any of the local doctors who would be coming on board would be going into those operating rooms.
Okay. I know Mercy Ships is a faith-based program. Are all volunteers on board practicing Christians, or is anyone welcome to volunteer, Hayley?
No, absolutely. Anyone can. You don't have to be a Christian to go on board. It is a faith-based, and they are open about that. But they also, we have a lot of people from West Africa who might be Muslim, and then they are, a lot of our day crew are Muslim and they come on board. So, no, you certainly don't have to be Christian to be able to serve on the Mercy Ship.
Or to be served by the Mercy Ship. I think it's important to say absolutely anyone, regardless of your background, your gender, your age, your financial status, etc., can be helped.
Yes, yes. In all the countries, it's made very clear that you don't have to be a particular faith to be served on the Mercy Ship, and that you don't have to commit to anything except coming for your operation and your follow-up.
Okay.
So yes, that's made very clear when the ship, before the ship arrives and while it's in country.
Okay. So how are you feeling now? I mean, I think you've been back about a week, not if that. It's literally less than 10 days. How are you adjusting back to normal life, and sort of what are you feeling reflecting back on the 6 months you spent on board?
Yeah, I think the 6 months flew by, to be honest. People can't believe that I've been away 6 months and I'm back already. I think it's it does change your mindset in a good way, that when you come back, you realize what's important and what you have and what we have here in South Africa. I've been back probably about 2 and a bit weeks and obviously looking for work now. And so, yes, I think when you leave the ship, they also offer to do a bit of a debrief with you, because you might encounter culture shock, even if you've only been away for 6 months. So I actually met with someone before I left the ship, and we spoke about my time on the ship, so that when I came back, it would be more of a, closing of a chapter for me in that. Yes, you never know, I might go back, and definitely if it, I could go and visit again. So the door's always open, and speaking to people on the ship, it's always nice to speak to people that have been on the Mercy ship, especially when you try to adjust and getting back into your, I would say, normal life again.
Back to the daily grind and routine. I mean, you say you're looking for a job. I mean, it's a huge sacrifice you've made, not only financially and time that you've sacrificed, but of course this is, you walked away from a job in teaching. You had to go, I'm doing this, I'm taking the plunge, I'm going to go and do something that I've dreamt of doing for a long time, knowing that at the end of it, you'd have to effectively start again. Is it a decision you've regretted at any level?
No, I don't think I have, because I had a piece about it going on the ship, and even though I wasn't in my field, I know I was making a difference, and in a way I was taking a bit of a sabbatical away from teaching, and I don't regret it. I think things always work out for a reason, but I won't lie, when you come back and then you suddenly realize people are all asking you what you're going to do, and you don't know yet, and even when I'd resigned before I went, I hadn't heard from the Mercy ship because I had to give so much time in teaching. I had to resign. So then people kept on asking me, are you going? And I'm like, I'm not sure, but I've resigned.
No fingernails left.
Some people might think it's maybe silly, but I don't regret it. Sorry, I don't regret it. And I think it's memories and life changing that I will look on for the rest of my life,
You must have chewed your fingernails to the core waiting in those intervening weeks. I mean, the final question then, Hayley, is what is your message to somebody listening to this today of encouragement? Because I'm hoping that there might be people feeling intrigued. Perhaps there are those in charge of corporate budgets who are pricking up their ears at the news that a second ship is in the planning, because we know that comes with a huge financial burden that needs to be covered as well. Would you encourage people to support the Mercy ship in either as a volunteer or with a financial contribution?
Yes, definitely. I'd say the second ship should be coming out next year. And, I've been in non-profit world on this side, and just being on the Mercy ship, I would say, there's no perfect organization, but I would say it gets run 85%, 90% really, really well. And it was refreshing to work for a non-profit like that. And, also realizing once I was on the ship that there were so many different things you could do on the ship, and many people say, oh, what can I do if I'm not a nurse, or what can I do if I'm not a doctor? But there are so many parts, not even half of the crew, what I would say, are medical. Mm-hmm. So it does require a bit of planning, and there are some challenges on board in that you are sharing with a number of people in a cabin that is tiny. So if you're used to your alone space, you're going to have to get that away, because you don't have alone time.
Yeah. Okay. That's an important thing to mention. Well, Hayley, I want to thank you so much for coming and to share your experience with us, and to say well done on the commitment that you gave to the Mercy ships. And thanks for encouraging others who are listening. I just want to end by repeating the website address, mercyships.co.za. There's information there on how you can become a volunteer and what level of commitment is required. There's also a facility on that page to donate if you don't feel, maybe you are somebody who can't bear the thought of 6 months in close quarters with tons of other people and no time alone. That's fine, but maybe consider making a small financial contribution if that would be your preference. All of that information is on the website. And Hayley, welcome home to Cape Town, and best wishes for the future.
Thank you so much, Pippa, and thanks for inviting me.